Hi Decoders, this week we're reflecting on the world events that have started us off in January 2026. But so many of them are chaotic. Are we starting with a feeling of doom?
Hi, I'm Kieran Trace. Welcome to Humans Decoded, a story of hobbits, fairies, elves, dwarfs, gnomes, and humans. If you get lost at any point, there is a deep dive on all the different avatars in episode one. It includes notes. Thank you for joining us in a fun little chat about the vast potential of our human makeup.
Hi, Cammy. Hi, Leela.
Hi, Kieran. Hi, Leela. Hi, everybody in the world.
Hi, loves.
So you guys, 2026 has happened, and I'm just curious about your Instagram and social feeds. What do they look like right now, especially, you know, the last 2 weeks? Leela, you're in Switzerland. Have you opened your social medias recently? Is it all heartbreak and chaos and the end of the world as we know it?
I have to say, my Instagram is still this sort of very uplifted version of reality, you know, with lots of cats, baby videos, donkeys and goats and people living rurally, gardening. So it's a very, very curated world that I see on my feed. Even though occasionally I do see these other posts, especially recently, because over New Year's there has been this massive fire here in Switzerland where 40 people died and more than 100 people were injured, mostly like teenagers and young adults. And, you know, it's sort of what everybody is talking about these days. It's all over the news. The radio keeps talking about this incident, how it could have been prevented, etc. And so I do see posts that are expressing, you know, condolences. And the thing is, I didn't even know that that happened because I don't read the news. And in this context, then it also made me question, like, is it okay to just stay in my curated gardening donkey cat video bubble? Or should I go and inform myself and know more about what's happening out there? So the way I heard about this incident is that I was talking to my neighbor who has a son, age 15, and she's been really sort of triggered and completely out of herself because she was following the news, and then by accident she watched a video that was filmed on a smartphone on the night the incident, the fire was happening, and she can't sleep anymore. She's like, oh my God, what if this had been my son? What if he had been there? And she keeps sort of spiraling in this, in her thoughts, in her stories. And it's, to me, it's sort of heartbreaking to see her like that, because it's like, okay, so how can she recover from that?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I need to get onto the donkey feeds because there's none of that yet in my Instagram feed. So that'll be the first order of business. But similarly, I feel for your friend. At the start of the year, I woke up with the news of Trump invading Venezuela, and it did knock me a little bit. It was a bit like a punch to the gut, like, oh, we're here again. Mm. And especially for me, because when Bush invaded Iraq, I was a lot more politically engaged. So it triggered a lot of the same sensations of powerlessness and like, ah, capitalism, like it's, you know, little guys versus them and injustice and, you know, like this sort of maelstrom of like, oh, I'm so powerless and angry. And at the same time, I would say my social feeds are very curated. For me, it's, you know, artists and dogs. I'll soon be adding donkeys. But if anything appears that's like triggery or designed to sort of captivate you in like a fear-based way, I'll be like, nah, you know, I'll make sure to click on the post and like say not interested, like don't ever show me this again. But kind of turning back to like the 2026 feeling of doom. There's definitely a feeling of foreboding. I would say generally, especially coming from a creative world where there's all these questions about AI and creative authorship. What's going to happen to our jobs? What's going to happen to people that make images to... What's going to happen to people who make images like myself? So I can spend 3 to 8 weeks on a painting and AI can do it in 2 seconds flat. or, you know, in the film industry, like big companies like Coca-Cola just decided to make their commercials out of AI, or like McDonald's. And, you know, those would have been like huge productions that would have employed like hundreds of people. So, yeah, there's this feeling of like, oh, we're all fucked. Like the future is coming and like, ah.
You know, obviously I'm in the United States and there's a lot of chaos with the current administration and various events politically, as well as just like horrible human things going on. There's the death recently of a woman shot by ICE agents, which has created a number of uprising and protests across the country and a lot of chaos and rage. And it's starting to open the door around, you know, how many very legal U.S. citizens, including military heroes and such, that have actually been deported by ICE. And also, you know, a lot of opening the door, hourly updates on various lawsuits regarding the Epstein files, and the horrors of all that. And just sort of like, you know, then the global dominoes also moving on the feeds. Just our hearts with Iran and the Iranians having the courage to call out for the end of Khamenei's rule. But the death count rising in those uprisings. And of course, Israel again returning to Gaza with more military strikes. And, you know, we're just, all of that is... since, you know, December, January of 2020, January of 2026. So it feels very grim to people, a lot of people. And, you know, something I also want to mention, because we're talking about this a lot, like these feeds that are so chaotic and so painful and so heartbreak and so doom actually bounce us into the other feeds that are like... not necessarily the donkey videos or the cat videos, although they're fabulous. For me, it's the funny baby ones. But like the recently, a few weeks ago, there was a TV show that premiered on HBO called Heated Rivalry, which is about these two hockey players who are out and interacting in a beautiful, loving relationship that even appears sane. But I haven't seen the show yet, but I have seen all the memes and all the influencers and stuff, and all of that stuff is very what we decoders, we call la-la, very popped out, very bubbled off, kind of insulated. It has the same vibe as like Twilight in a way, like it's like the Twilight movies and shows, you know, like it has this like obsessive romantic aspect to it. And we literally just did a show on What Are You Watching, and this is a perfect example. It's like so grippy, people are so obsessed. People are literally using the word like obsessed. I've watched it a million times, I think about it all the time, you know, are clear signs that this is it's still fear indulging, but it indulges in its opposite way. And I think that's what, you know, like 2026, there's just so much heartbreak that we can find ourselves bouncing quickly to these bubbled off, obsessive, romantic, beautiful, you know, the two co-stars are so beautiful. You know, we can find ourselves bouncing between the two, and it's not a great place. Neither of those are great places where we want to be. So maybe decoders, we together as a community can put some peace plans in place we could focus on, you know, what do we really want? And how do we actually get there? As a way to feel more present, engaged, alive, spacious, instead of indulging fear on either side of that coin, the rah-rah or la-la, as we would say.
Where else are you going to get up to the moment cultural pop references and a deep spiritual dive? Here on this podcast. But I really love the notion of a peace plan, because it's offering the alternative. It's like, do I just stew in my fear and despair, or do I like go and chase a fantasy? I think Outlander maybe had a similar vibe to that. Like, literally leave your present life and go and frolic in the distant lands with a lover.
And I've been hearing on the media tour for this Heated Rivalry show, this like enormous numbers of women of all ages so loving this. Not to say that men aren't as well, but the great proportion is women. And the question keeps coming to the co-stars, like, why do you think women love it so much? It's like, because it's fucking crack cocaine for women. It's pure, it's pure bubble love. It's romance. It's hot men. It's like really kind of like PG sex. Like, that's all women crack.
I'm so tempted to watch it, but Kieran has warned me, like, too much Lala. Don't go near that vortex.
if you know yourself to tend to bubble off, and our gorgeous Cammy and our beautiful Leela are of that ilk, then this is a dangerous show for you. If you are not, yeah. It's dangerous fruit. But if you are not in that category, i.e. Kieran, who like maybe does 10 minutes every 2 years of Lala, then please, it's an empower. Like, it could have been an empowering show, and somewhere under all that Lala is an empowering thread.
But back to our peace plan, guys.
All right.
Yeah, I think when you're confronted with these really big world events, it's automatic to feel powerless and either want to disengage completely or wallow in despair and outrage. But a peace plan shifts it from, I'm feeling all this fear, to, okay, what's actually real, what's alive and wanted in this moment? Like, what's here in the vicinity of this being? I remember one time, long, long time ago, when I first started working with Kieran, I went down this conspiracy rabbit hole where it was kind of fueled by my sister, who sort of went down that rabbit hole and never actually recovered. But it was around like pedophilia and heads of state and these like massive conspiracies and then angelic realms coming to intervene. And I'd spend time, you know, like sort of being immersed in this world. And it was just this like soup of wild perspectives. And Kieran was like, that is globalizing, which is when you take your fear and project it out there into the world as an external problem. And Kieran asked me, like, is any of this underfoot? Is there someone in your immediate vicinity being harmed or affected by this? Like, are these angelic realms, like, do they have anything to do with your life right now? And the answer was no. None of that was even remotely in my world. So I was having to reach out quite far externally from myself to engage with this problem. So coming back to the peace plan, it sort of reminds you of like what's concrete around you, what's here on your actual plate in front of you, where you're going to have the most agency.
Right on. Okay. So what do I mean by a peace plan? You know, decoders, you guys know this very well. In this podcast, we talk about dreaming solutions. It's like taking the time to daydream in very nuanced ways the solutions that you desire. We also talk a lot about everything being an inside job, not an outside external job. We recently did a whole episode on activism and the sustainability of that activism if it comes from inside, internally joyous, like an actual celebration internally, versus coming from fear and various stages of, you know, not safe, don't belong, the world is a dumpster fire. That kind of fear is not sustainable activism. And that's a great episode to listen to shed some light on how you can tell the difference if you're indulging or celebrating. And, you know, you guys decoders know that we have way more power internally to change the world than you ever could with your actions externally. That the world, and we talk about all this time, that external world, the word we use here, is it's a mirror of the internals. It's how the universe works. And we share that. We talk about this one infinite field. And it's not, there's not like two fields where there's like the you over here in your internal world and then a different field over there that's the external world and the collective world. You know, it doesn't work like that. It's one field, and you are so uniquely and purposely of that one field, not a drop in the ocean. You're the ocean. And so we're always talking about like how that internal movement and gyrations of your system are actually creating this external mirror, the external world. So we can notice when we indulge our internal programming of fear and instead move over to a witness seat where we witness fear. And from the witness seat, there's much more fluidity of movement. You can start to reflect on ideal solutions. You can play with keeping your attention in a, you know, in a much more uplifted place, you know, without bubbling off. Like there's more moves in the witness seat than there's moves in the indulgent seat. So we got lots and lots and lots of episodes about all that kind of juicy stuff where today we're looking at, okay, so then what practically is a peace plan when the world is burning before our eyes?
So can I ask this really practical question about how to navigate news? Like, what's your guys' take on that? Are we reading news? Are we not reading news? It's a big thing amongst spiritual people, in air quotes. Like, what's true here? And I wonder, you know, in my case, like, is it really okay to just watch my cute cat videos and the donkeys playing? Because, for instance, when I was talking to my neighbor and she mentioned this, you know, the incident where all these people died in Switzerland on New Year's, I recognized the fear inside of me, the little not good enough that was like, oh shit, I should know this. I should know more about the world. Maybe it's not okay to just to be living sort of, you know, inside of my own world. And yeah, is it a version of Lala? Like, is this a version of me bubbling off and not wanting to see what's happening in reality?
I would say I'm, as I said, protective of the bubble that I'm exposed to, because I feel like I'm aware that just because it's news doesn't mean it's an accurate perspective. But every now and then I might follow a news organization for a little bit, almost like dipping my toe in the water. Like, do I like what they're feeding me? And sort of gently let them in. But there is a genuine interest in the world for me. So I feel like it organically finds me. So I come across tidbits of information in conversations or in the things I scroll through. I tend to scan for the big picture. I wouldn't say I'm into the details much. So I don't follow that closely, but I kind of like to know the gist of like things that are happening.
I don't think that it's one or the other. And you know, what you guys are saying is echoed in my life too. My mother would always say, like, it's my civic duty, you know, which would be her saying it was her civic duty, to watch the news. So my mother is, you know, she's in her late 70s. She comes from a generation before social media, before fake news. She's also a Canadian. Canadian news is much more vetted for facts than the U.S. or emerging countries' news. And Canadian news prides itself on representing all voices in a story versus an echo chamber. So certainly she grew up in a time where you would watch the daily news at night on a TV station, and hers represented, you know, the Canadian news. And people really thought, like, that's your civic responsibility. And it's a different landscape today. It's so very different. It's not my mother's world at all. And it's not our civic responsibility to pay attention to all the news coming across our feeds. But I agree with what you're saying, Cammy. We don't necessarily want to avoid the world. And so it's about what's alive. It can be very alive to see what's up in the world. What's up? And it's really, really okay if it's not. Which is to say, it's really okay, decoders, to turn off your feed. Like, yay for, you know, social media or media, you know, retreats. Yay for taking a few days of just, I don't know, yoga or extended days at home where we're giving ourselves practices to be disconnected from a bombardment of information. And I would say yay for highly curated social media feeds. We know that that doesn't insulate you from the world. You're still going to find out the news. Leela found out about it by just interacting with her neighbor. You know, as Cammy's saying, organically finds its way to you. So you get to be curating how news arrives or how information arrives. And I think that's wonderful. So personally, it's very alive for me to see what's going on in the world. And I notice that there's many diverse places that I'm going to go look. Like, for instance, if something's coming up, even whatever, the heated rivals or the war in Gaza or the Iranian uprising, all of that stuff, I will go to key intellectuals and maybe even academics that I value. I'm also going to include some comedians that I really like that are reflecting on this event or these same events. And then I'm also going to go very intentionally to a feed that's really very bad, very crappy, very focused on fake news, because I want the comments. I really love the comments section. And I can usually extract some very nuanced details that were otherwise missed. And then I'll also do like a Google search and randomly be introduced to new points of view on that. So it doesn't take long. Like inside of 10 to 12 minutes, if I'm interested in something, I can move to 12 different sources of that piece of information, discerning specifically what is accurate, even if that's going to challenge my story. And I think what I'm speaking to is what we all are going to be learning to do in this AI world that Cammy's talking about, where there is no longer a singular storyline that represents one true storyline that we all agree on in human culture, that's being disrupted. Currently, AI is able to create news and storylines that even imitate respected news anchors or respected intellectual personalities very succinctly. So we're already unable to discern accuracy based on content. And this sort of thing is going to force us to learn discernment, learn how to review a piece of information that feels alive across many more perspectives. And that's more than four, you know, like more than how it was in another generation. We're talking 12 or 15. And I think it's great. I think it's very great for each of us to be practicing discernment and learning how to do that. Because the more we learn that, the more sensitive we become to human processes and even our own processes. It's good. More discernment is more awareness. More awareness is more sensitivity. More sensitivity is more connectivity. More connectivity is more fulfillment. Like, follow that line. You know, it's all really good news to me. So I think the ultimate answer about are we listening to news or are we not is that what feeds your joy, not your fear, right? What's going to feed your curiosity, not your sensationalism? Like, what feeds your genuine question, not reinforcing injustice or not being safe or not being loved? And there's not a quick answer to that. It's a longer awareness practice.
Just a quick one to say that I also had a lot of pressure from my parents to be informed. And when I announced, because it was, you know, I was like, oh, I'm spiritual now, I don't do news. When I announced that I wasn't reading the news anymore, my dad was like, how can you do that? Like, what? But I would say I'd found my own way back to it in a way that's a little bit more comfortable. And I also do some of the things that Kieran does. Like, I follow some accounts that are just awful, like in the gutter. But I'm just curious, like, where's the temperature at? Like, what do the comments say? And if there's a really sensational article, I'm like, is there any sanity in the comments or in the reactions? I feel like I found my own way to be playful with it.
So when I hear peace plan, and when we're talking about what is alive here and what is, as you said, Cami, like in the immediate vicinity of this being, what I think about is the prayer group we had for a moment in our community, where we would come together and envision the deliciousness, as we call it, of, let's say, peace in Gaza, for instance. And we've referenced the prayer group in previous episodes. And I don't know, like, can we turn the tide of the conversation towards a prayer, for instance, towards a solution when our neighbors or family are being so very triggered? And, you know, I'm seeing just as we're talking inside of myself that I'm either indulging my fear by being overly interested in the news of the world, like the external, or I move completely away from it and ignore it and avoid it.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is like really echoed in the decoder's experience, right? Where we either feel like we're completely too available and pressurizing ourselves to be even more available, or we're flipping the other way and being so bubbled off, like it's this extreme movement, but there's this middle way, there's this much more grounded, centered way, which is that you're talking about, which is feeling into an ideal solution. That's what we were doing in those groups. We were listening for these ideal solutions and having each person who had their own point of view throwing one part of that puzzle out. And so we put all the puzzle pieces together. We found this really cohesive story of a solution. But in ourselves, we can do that. Like, instead of being so open or so bubbled off, we can be intentionally sitting in an awareness of the solutions we want. So part of a peace plan then includes shifting the group conversation that way. You know, like you're talking about with Cami's parents or with Leela's neighbor being so triggered.
I love hearing that because, you know, I find myself in so many conversations here in Switzerland about the United States, you know, because I travel often to the US. People feel like they want to talk to me about all the things that are wrong with this country. And I sit there and I feel that hopelessness. I feel what you said in the beginning, Cam. I feel like, fuck, yeah, like, what do you say? The things that are happening are awful. And your reminder, Kieran, of like, okay, so can we feel into a solution? Can we feel what we would call what's delicious in our community? It's such a brilliant reminder. And, you know, I can't hear it often enough.
Yeah, and honestly, it's great language to use out there with anybody you're talking to. So the language, you know, is like, kind of like, you know, like, I know. What I know is really helpful is if we kind of collectively feel into a solution. Like, do you guys want to play in? Like, do you want to do that? Like, you know, and people really resonate with the word delicious, and people really resonate with sort of playing in together to find something delicious. Like it feels risky to throw it out there, but it's true. And so we want some language. I hear you. I hear this loop all the time from everyone. Do you have a solution? Please share with me, like, what would you love to ideally see happen? Like, from your point of view, or, you know, I know, you know, do you know, what if we just stop for a second from the blah, 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 and actually just, like, focus on some outcomes? Like, I'd love to know your ideal outcome. So, also, I would say part of the peace plan can also be redirection. And redirection can help really change the loop of doom. Weirdly, it seems like such a kind of immature solution, but it's actually really effective. Like, gosh, it's so warm out today. And it seems weird because you're neighbor can't sleep for 3 days, you know, and to do this big redirection, you know, like, did you like the new Wicked movie? If you had a chance. It seems really, like, awkward, like a real awkward transition, but it works, people. Like, it actually works, and it's a legitimate practical play in the peace plan. Like, so what's your favorite, banana bread or pumpkin bread? Are you a pie person? I love the pie questions always because there's so many pies. And pie's a really good thing. you can stay with pie for a really long time. And I actually, like, I remember moments in my life when it was like I was in a real doom scroll and I would have a friend be like, maybe we should go get some pie. maybe this is the time to go get a piece of pie.
I think that piece would work really well with my mom. Just talk about recipes.
Yeah, I love that you don't have to, like, sit there and sort of stew with them, that you have, like, a little, you know, like a trapdoor, like, oh, look. And I love that there's a choice that you can have the discernment. Is there enough openness to engage with someone, like, hey, let's look at solutions together? Or is it just like, nah, you're going to hit against a wall of beliefs and convictions and you're going to get absolutely bulldozed. So, you know what? What is your favorite pie?
And, you know, in our last episode, we had a very beautiful episode about prayers and how important prayer can be, even for spiritual people. And if we find ourselves very triggered and looping in our own self, and the question of what pie we fancy right now doesn't break our own loop inside of ourselves, you know, you can interrupt your own loop with a redirect with prayer. And I think that actually is that's a really great way to shift the loop in your head, is that. And so I notice I can find myself. Recently, I had this little doom spiral loop, and I watched myself just interrupt it after about 35 seconds with a like, what's your ideal solution? Couldn't find it in that second. So just move to a prayer. And the prayer was just really simple. Like, everything is supported. Like, I know the support can be brought to me. Like, I know there's support for me. And then I could loop that prayer, you know? And it's great to loop a prayer. Like, go for it. Loop that prayer instead of the doom.
If you guys could see me in video, you would have seen my shoulders drop 2 inches in that little bit there. Absolutely. I feel like prayer works in the macro and the micro. I could apply it literally to this moment right now where I find myself just a little bit caught in something. And it's like, oh, there's actually a different option. There's an avenue out. So, yeah, prayer.
What an elegant way also to interrupt the loop. And, you know, I'm just, as you're mentioning it, I might even be able to pull that one off. You know, like when I'm hanging with others and they loop, I could pull my I'm a pastor card and say, let's pray. I honestly think, especially again with my mom, that will work. Or with the group of people I just hung out with for a weekend workshop I taught, that totally works. I forget that I can play that card. And I think it's a really beautiful card to play, actually, to interrupt the lamento of like, oh my God, AI and the world and da 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 da.
I feel like if I was in a group and somebody said, can we just pray? I'd be like, oh, yeah.
But ultimately, Kieran, right? It's about the awareness. It's not about the prayer. It's not even about the language.
Yeah, I think I'm loving the practical elements of our peace plan here. But it's true. The most powerful prayer you could say to affect change on planet Earth is to cultivate more awareness. Awareness doesn't come from our mind figuring shit out. It comes from, let's just agree on some vocabulary, decoders will call it inquiry. If it's awareness, it's inquiry. So where we can move our awareness, or we can move our awareness back from mental commentary. So that's to say, awareness doesn't have to sit behind your forehead watching all the thoughts. Awareness can move back. It's like up and back, as the Kundalini yoga people say. But, you know, without making a big thing, we can just say awareness can pierce the present moment, allowing us to witness truth, witness reality, instead of watching our loop all the time. And something I think that it's great to see if we're faced with these catastrophic and apocalyptic triggers, something I think that's really good to see when we're faced with catastrophic and apocalyptic triggers everywhere is that lots of times those externals, the mirror, as we often say, looks really chaotic, is really a test for us. The test is, okay, yeah, you're seeing your own bullshit somewhat because you've been listening to the Human Decoder podcast, because you've been taking some trainings and practice some awareness. Sure, you see your own bullshit. But are you really committed to seeing it? Or can I fool you into the illusion of war again? Like, did you really see? Did you have a real insight that peace is possible in yourself no matter what? Have you really seen that you're throwing the peace away? So life is like, okay, if I make this really loud, like this war, if I just start ramping it up here, are you going to fall for that? Are you going to fall for that illusion? Will you give up your insight and start to fear again? Or will you dig down and hold that insight, knowing that peace can be found right there in yourself? If you're willing to give up your injustice or give up you're not safe in a small and obvious way, like when my husband's late from work or my child has done something against our family values, and you saw, oh, I don't have to give up peace there. Can you see it in the bigger amplification? Like once we start to see how we are participating in the war, because we keep being terrified that we're not safe, and we keep being terrified that we don't belong, and we keep being terrified that, you know, something's wrong and I'm not catching it. If we keep indulging it, but then finally the light goes on and we're like, oh shit, it's me. I've been participating in the war. I see it, Kieran. I see it, Leela. I see it, Cammy. I'm going to make the change. I'm the man in the mirror, just like you've been saying. Life will test you on that, because our mind thinks it's going to be different. Our mind thinks life's totally on our side. Like life's going to celebrate every insight with you. We think, okay, once you have an insight, life's going to be like, yay, you saw, you're participating in the war, you saw it. And then they're going to part the waters, and it's just, life's going to be like, it was all just an illusion. See, there's peace everywhere. It's all peace. It's just peace because you didn't indulge it that one time. Whoa, it's all peace. No, life plays a different game. Life goes, okay. Okay, I see you. I see you. I'm going to amp this up over here just a little bit. Can you still hold the insight? Was the insight real? Can it withstand this kind of pressure? Can you still step off your fear? Did you really get this insight? That's how life plays.
Man. And that's where you, Kieran, always say it's so courageous to live peace, to really live it sort of inside of yourself where it all begins. That's the fundamental step. And, you know, I've been invited to a weekend a few months ago, a peace conference with different peace leaders, spiritual and secular. And I offered a workshop there about how this peace starts inside of your own body very practically, by, you know, actually hearing your body, letting awareness be in your body. Because how often do we go to war inside of our bodies? Deny, I don't know, food when we're hungry, or water when we're thirsty, or go to bed when we're tired, like all these simple, super banal things. And then, you know, and then I look around inside of myself and I'm like, holy crap. Yeah. Like, there's like lots of little, sometimes subtle, sometimes loud wars, even though I know, you know, all this to be true, that peace really does start with not fighting the moment, not fighting what is. It's like, well, yep, there's tons of war going on inside here. What to do?
What do you mean I have to give them up? Damn it. I feel as we're talking, the wars I'm fighting, the little like bits I'm holding onto are definitely coming into more relief. So... yeah, the little battles I want to hold on to, like, me, mine, me against the world. You don't understand. And yeah, like Leela says, it definitely takes some courage to be able to look at them, let alone release them. But that's the opportunity. There's so much peace to be had inside of your own sphere. there's so many micro opportunities to lead with awareness instead of separate self or indulgence or fear. And before you look at the world, or as you look at the world, they're kind of one in the same way. So it's your world, but it's the world. So these tiny little micro decisions you make, that's the world. There isn't a world out there. It's not you here in your bedroom and the news outside. The peace that is being fostered is happening right here inside of you.
Right on. And it's the beginning of a new year. Lots of times people will say, like, okay, what's our new year going to be? You know, like, what's the vibe? What's the flavor? And sometimes you can get a little taste on the wind. Like in the beginning of 2025, it was felt by me anyway so clearly that this is a year of opportunity, 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 opportunity. And before 2026 happened, before I felt a taste on the wind, I would have wanted or projected 2026 to be about harvesting those opportunities. But now that we're sitting into 2026 and I'm getting a taste on the wind, what I think 2026 is going to be more about is pause, which is another way to say space or even a peace plan. You know, that. And I know that doesn't look like what 2026 is starting in its bloom to be with the cacophony of world events being so heartbreaking. But I want to just throw it out there. Since we're talking about, as a community, putting a little peace plan together, what we're talking about in that peace plan is about what is the news that we're watching. When we hang out with others, can we talk about solutions? In ourselves, can we hear solutions or even prayer to interrupt a loop? Can we use prayer? And more and most importantly, in our peace plan, not falling for the illusion every time. And every one of those practices is going to carve out some space. And in that space, there can be a dawning of peace. There can be like a little breath, a little seed. I think of a pause like when you're playing sports, and then you get to go to the sideline and just catch your breath. And I think all the practices that we're talking about today are like that. That's what we're saying. We're saying, hey, instead of gearing down into the fear, instead of popping off into a spaced out false bubble and collapsing against this cacophony that feels like a war out there, there are more active things you can do, which includes a move to the sideline, catch your breath, disconnect from how you're going to play, and, you know, refocus. Before you play in, I don't know if 2027 is when we all go play in. I don't know if that's 2028. Who knows? I just know, like, this is the taste on the wind, I feel.
What a beautiful directive for 2026. Pause, catch your breath. And I feel like it's literally what we do in this podcast. Like, as we're recording, I feel this space open up inside of me. As we were planning the episode, same thing. It feels like there's always this little respite and sanctuary where we come together and explore what's true. And it's just a joy sharing it with you all.
Yeah, totally. This is the peace plan. This is it. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to you next week. We love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. We obviously love hearing what you think. Your feedback helps us make a better show for you to listen to. So feel free to comment, and you can do it at Facebook, which is the Humans Decoded Podcast. And if you're not on social, you can always email any questions to us at outreach@kierantrace.com. And Thanks for listening. We love you.